What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So, you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. Back when I was around 12, my family went on a trip to the Gold Coast. Now, naturally, we flew there in a plane. But imagine if my parents had gave me some runners, like sand shoes, whatever you like to call them, and said, go on, you can do it, and just said me to run to the Gold Coast. Especially at that age, there's no way I would have been able to make it. But when we drove to the airport and got on the plane, once the plane took off, I knew we were as good as there. You see, I couldn't get to the Gold Coast by my own strength. But once on the plane, I could already relax as my destination was only a matter of time. Now, I tell you this story because it illustrates a need to be united to something in able to reach an end. The plane enabled me to go higher, further, and faster than I could have alone. And that's how this passage speaks of union with Christ. Through faith in Jesus, we escape sin and death by our union with him in his death and resurrection. Through faith in Jesus, we die to sin and will be raised to new life. He is our escape, if you will. We are united with Christ, and that is how we escape a life of sin. I mean, that's what the passage says. I just read it. But what does that all mean? And how does being united with Christ actually help any of this? Well, verse 1 to 2 outlines the ridiculous nature of wanting to sin. I'll read it again. You can follow on if you like. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Grace is not a license to sin, but an invitation to something far, far better. This morning we're going to be looking at what it means to be united with Christ, as I mentioned earlier, and how his death becomes our death, and how his new life guarantees our new life. And how each of these calls for a reorientation in how we live. Now, I keep saying united with Christ. I've said it I don't know how many times now. But what does that actually mean? Well, a helpful way of thinking of it is saying that we are one with Christ. It's that much of a union. A union so close that we share with Christ in all he has done for us. Just look at verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. We share in Christ in his death and resurrection. Why do we share in this? We are one with Christ. The baptism Paul is referring to in this passage refers to a trust in Christ. You've repented of your sin and you seek to live a life that honors God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not merely a ceremony. Paul is referring to what the ceremony represents. Now, everything that happened to Jesus in this regard is our reality too. Yes, even dying and raising to new life. Back to the plane I opened with. Imagine you're at Sydney Airport, I'm taking you with me this time, when we're going to the Gold Coast again. Now, it's a long way away. What kind of relationship do you need to have with the plane in order to get to your destination? Do you want to say, let's say, under the plane? Under the plane, you're submitting to the plane's authority. Yep, it knows how to get there. What about inspired by the plane? You get to the airport, you see the plane take off, and you sort of look off and you're like, maybe one day I'll do that too. Maybe. Or what about following the plane? See, it stands to reason, Gold Coast, it's like it's land, it's so you can run it. If you follow the trajectory of the plane, you just run, like what parents were going to do. No, they weren't going to do that. If you just run, you'll get there eventually if you don't dehydrate first. But none of these quite get to the key relationship we need to have with the plane. See, it's not under, it's not inspired by, it's not following. But it's in the plane. You see, the type of relationship we are to have with Jesus as Christians, that's what this is. We need to put our faith in Jesus, similar to how you put your faith and trust in a plane. So, recap, check. Union with Christ is to be one with him. One with everything he did for us. So what has happened to him has happened to us. But he died. Yeah, I know Christmas is coming up, and oh yeah, baby Jesus, but he died at Easter. To be united with Christ into death is to have died with him. Through baptism, Christians are united with Christ in his death. Let's read verse 3 again. Or are you unaware that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Have you ever noticed that the early church, the way they tended to baptize, the way John the Baptist tended to baptize, was what we would probably call full immersion. You go under and you come up. This represents the death of the old self when you go underneath the water. So through faith, symbolized by this act of baptism, we become one with Christ into his death. The old self described is described as being crucified through this. Let's read verse 6 and 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, that is Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Our old self died with Jesus when we put our trust in him. Verse 6, he even says our old self was crucified, to reiterate again. I mean, Paul could have just left it as died. It's dead. But he wanted to drive home the point that it is so well and truly dead, it has no authority over you anymore. We fully share in the righteousness of Jesus through having died to sin with him through our trust in him. Now back to the plane. Have you ever thought that anything that happens to the plane also happens to you? Like when you get to the Gold Coast, the question, did you get to the Gold Coast and did the plane get to the Gold Coast, are the same question. Because you're in the plane. That's how union with Christ is meant to work. Anything that has happened to Christ has, or will, happen to us. And Christ died. To reiterate that again. So through trust in Jesus, we have died too. We know that through Jesus, we have also died. And we are freed from sin. But freed into what? I mean, if death was the end of the line, what would be the point of being freed into death? Where would be the point in that? What would be the freedom in that? But praise be to God that Jesus not only died, but rose to new life. And because we are one with him, we're united with him through baptism, through trust in him, so shall we. Our union with Christ extends beyond death into a new life. We will rise because Jesus rose. Verse 5 mentions this union being extended beyond death. I'll read it out. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And Paul returns to this idea later in the passage in verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. We are freed from our enslavement to sin and death because Jesus overcame death. We are one with him in this. And no one dies twice. And just as in baptism, a person comes out of the water, back to that full immersion analogy, this represents the reality of having raised to new life. Psalm 84 that was read out a few minutes ago. The psalmist longs to dwell with God. In verse 10, you don't have to flip it, I'll read out part of verse 10. He says, better is a day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. A thousand. And the psalmist longs for one day with God. One day. But we have union with Christ for eternity. How can this not be cause for celebration and a life that has lived in obedience and thankfulness to the one who has brought us through death into the hope of resurrection life? The psalmist had no idea just how glorious, how beneficial, how awe-inspiring this union with Christ would be. Back to the plane again, one last time. When you're on the plane, you can do nothing to change the destination. And why would you? Gold Coast is great. Where I heard this phrase as I was preparing to sermon, it's like, beautiful one day, perfect the next. I'm not sure it's still their slogan, but I've heard it before. Trying to run down the aisle to the back of the plane in a vain attempt to get back to Sydney is pointless and even moronic. And don't worry, doing these kind of small backsliding doesn't change your end destination. You trust in Jesus, you're in the plane. So long as you don't jump off the plane, you're still going to get to your end destination. But what you want to be doing is getting ready for your destination. You want to be getting ready for the Gold Coast. You want to be taking off your cold summer clothing and, oh, not cold summer clothing, Sydney clothing. And if you, like, your business attire, taking that off if you work, and then putting on your sunnies, your swimmers, sun cream, because when you want to land, you want to be ready. It's the Gold Coast. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. Because we are united with Christ, it makes sense to live accordingly. Now we have a new life direction through our union with Christ. We are moving to the real Gold Coast, if you will, where it is truly beautiful one day and eternally perfect the next. Sinning is part of the old life direction, but we have a new one. From being raised with Jesus, it just makes sense to get with the groove now. Paul brings it to a head in verses 12 to 14. The last little bit of the passage, I'll read it out again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any part of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God. And all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. Offer yourselves to God because of the grace that each of us receives in Jesus. It isn't about sinning so that grace may multiply, as Paul says in verse 1, and he spends these whole 14 verses refuting. It's about living in light of being freed from death for resurrection life. We are one with Christ when you put your trust in him. Just like we're on that plane. Where it goes, we go. Where Christ goes, we go. To want to sin because we are under grace, not the law, that doesn't make sense. However, it makes every bit of sense to start to strive to live that new life now. Amen.